All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is David Newman with Do It Marketing and another fabulous teleseminar program. Today, my guest is Wendy Weiss, also known as the Queen of Cold Calling, and you're about to find out why. An author, speaker, sales trainer, and sales coach, Wendy's recognized as one of the leading authorities on lead generation, cold calling, and new business development. Her clients include Avon Products, ADP, and thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners around the country. Wendy's been featured in the New York Times, Business Week, Entrepreneur Magazine, Selling Power, Inc., Forbes, and many other business and sales-focused publications. Wendy's the author of Cold Calling for Women, Opening Doors and Closing Sales, and the Sales Winner's Handbook, Essential Scripts and Strategies to Skyrocket Sales Performance. So let me just sort of set this up, and then we've got a ton of questions for Wendy, and she has a ton of strategies, tools, tactics, and scripts to share with you in the next 60 minutes. You know, the way that Wendy and I look at the world is pretty much in sync. So, and I've got a funny story to share with you about that later, about exactly how in sync and what I mean by that. But basically, nothing beats having a real, live, voice-to-voice conversation with a prospect. And when you reach prospects, you've got less than 30 seconds to interest and engage them. And if you make a mistake, there are no second chances. You blew it. It's done. You're toast. So during our next hour together, you are going to learn proven techniques and powerful strategies to find prospects that are most likely to buy, help you stand out from the competition and win, guarantee that your prospects that you reach on the phone will be receptive, build rapport and respect with prospects, have your prospects actually wanting to hear more from you, and most importantly, perhaps sort of first, foremost, first, last, and always, eliminate the stress and the frustration of cold calling and get results on each and every call. So my guest is the fabulous Wendy Weiss. That is a tall order, my friend. That is a tall order, and welcome.
Well, thank you so much, David. So why don't we just go ahead and do it?
So let me ask you this, because I'm my folks know, and you know, Wendy, that my whole shtick is marketing. Marketing, thought leadership marketing, inbound marketing, call it what you want. First question for you, why cold call at all? Why cold call at all? Is it old-fashioned? Is it out of date? Does it even work? People are doubters. I have some doubts. I've got questions. What do you think?
Okay. Well, that's a great question. And, you know, because you're a marketing guy, David, and because we've got marketing folks on this call today, it's very interesting. For some reason, when the conversation turns to cold calling, it's like everything that we know about marketing gets thrown out the window. And people say really dumb things about what cold calling is. Like they will tell you it's about going through the no's and the hang-ups until somebody says yes to you. Who in their right mind wants to do that? They'll tell you that it's about opening up the phone book and calling anyone. Well, we're marketers. We know we don't do that. So for cold calling to succeed, and possibly it's just that the phrase cold calling is scary. Maybe we need to call it something else. Cold calling, introductory calling. Just like any other form of marketing, it needs to be very specific, it needs to be highly targeted, and the message has to be right. And just like you wouldn't open up the phone book and blast a whole bunch of emails that you would just, one would hope you wouldn't do this, blast a whole bunch of emails out into cyberspace to anyone, having just typed any old message that happened to pop into your head and expect that to work, of course you're not going to get on the phone and do that either. So cold calling does work. It works very well. The problem is that most people don't do it very well, which is why it doesn't work for them.
Well, so let me do true confession time. I've said this on a couple of my own teleseminars that I do solo. I tell almost every client that works with me one-on-one, I say, dude, I hate the phone. I just hate the phone. So I've always hated the phone, and I know that this is a huge liability. So about 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, in 2010, and Wendy and I connected about this, and she knows this story. I came across Wendy Weiss, the queen of cold calling. I came across the Sales Winner's Handbook. I reached into my wallet. I got my credit card. I ordered the Sales Winner's Handbook. So long before, long in 2010, and I think it's just about 3 years ago, I think it was March or April of 2010, because when I invited Wendy onto this call, I forwarded her my receipt for my, I said, dude, not only am I a fan, not only am I a fellow guru kind of on the marketing side of the house, I'm a customer, and I bought your program, and I love your stuff. So, you know, this is cash money in the bank that I invested. And Wendy, before we even get to our next question, you've got a fabulous offer where not only am I customer number one here on this call, and it very well could be that other folks on the call have already invested in this fabulous program. Tell us how to get this. Tell us what the special deal is. Oh, the day.
Oh, absolutely. I wrote the Sales Winner's Handbook because the two questions that I get asked all of the time are either, Wendy, I am so uncomfortable on the phone. How do I get over being so afraid and so uncomfortable? Or the other question is, Wendy, what do I say? And I'm a really big believer that if you know what you're going to say, you're not going to be so uncomfortable. So that's why I wrote the Sales Winner's Handbook. It is essentially a what do you say book for any kind of situation. And I have put together, because David, you twisted my arm a little bit, and when you order the Sales Winner's Handbook today, if you order before midnight tomorrow, actually, we're going to ship the book to you priority on us. If you're in the U.S., I know we have some folks in Canada here today. We will deduct the shipping, and you would simply pay the difference for the shipping. Plus, the book comes with a whole bunch, $227 worth of digital downloads for instant gratification to help you. And we can go into more detail about this later on.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Write this down.
There you go.
Let me give everybody the link. Write this down. Grab a pen. Okay, here is the link. It's bit.ly/doitmarketing. So that is the link, bit.ly/doitmarketing. And that's where you can get the Sales Winner's Handbook.
As I did 3 years ago, and I, you know what? I still hate the phone, but number two, I use the phone, and number three, I can now make money on the phone. You don't have to like it. You just have to do it. It has been my experience. So let me ask you your second question, because this is also, again, where a lot of speakers, consultants, authors, experts, thought leading professionals of every kind say, oh, you know, cold calling, that's so passe. You know, haven't email and social media replaced cold calling just stone cold? We're not cold calling. Everything is now email, social media, soft touch, e-zine marketing. Hasn't it been replaced?
Well, let me, that's a great question, David, and let me actually read a study here. I have two of them for you, one about email and one about social media. And I'm going to quote Steve Richard, who is the co-founder of a company named Voresight. And he says, Quote, after tracking the origin of 635 scheduled meetings with vice president level executives, we discovered that 78% of the meetings were scored by conversations over the phone and only 9% through email with no conversation. So 78% of the meetings that they had with high-level executives scheduled over the telephone, 9% through email alone. That's the first study. And then this is actually from Ad Age. A six-week study of Facebook's fan pages showed that a mere 0.45% of fans engaged in any way beyond clicking like. The average engagement for brands with the largest fan bases, like Harley-Davidson and Nike and Porsche, was 0.36%. And then this is my favorite part of this report. In other Facebook marketing news, the world-famous Sun Valley Ski Resort in Idaho invested their entire $950,000 ad budget in Facebook advertising in 2011. It bombed. It bombed so bad, in fact, they fired their marketing director. In 2012, because in 2011 they were marketing for 2012, in 2012 they had more snow than they knew what to do with, and they couldn't pack their hotels after using Facebook exclusively. So, email and social media are great tools, but the bottom line is you need to talk to prospects. All tools lead to the telephone, and the telephone enables you to have a human being to human being connection, a real conversation with a real prospect in real time. And that is why the communication skill of telephone prospecting, that's why it is so important. That's why knowing what to say and knowing how to handle yourself on the telephone is so important.
Well, and again, let me give you a shameless plug, because as I mentioned at the top of the call, maybe only a handful of folks were on, I've actually taken my copy of the Sales Winner's Handbook, and I've dog-eared about 20 or 22 pages. So the book, even though it really is the Sales Winner's Handbook, it's not about just cold calling. So Chapter 4, for example, is email strategies. So 10 email strategies to reach decision makers, for instance. So you lay out, what do you need to do in email to earn the phone call? And then what do you do on the phone? And there's very specific step-by-step scripts, openings. I mean, we talk about everything in here. The beauty of this, and I've heard this, I can't tell you how many times, and maybe you have too, Wendy. People say, you know, I have a real hard time prospecting, but when I get through to somebody, and when we have that first initial meaningful conversation, I can close 80 or 90% of the time. If I can just get in front of more people, voice to voice or face to face, mostly it's voice to voice because it's remote, as soon as I have a meaningful conversation, once I get to ask my questions and sort of dig into their issues, it's over. I win. And then my question is, well, why don't you just do that more? Oh, I don't like prospecting. Oh, I don't like cold calling. Oh, I don't know what to say on the phone, right? So let's talk about it. How do you even know? It's kind of a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway because I'm a dumb guy. How do I know who to call?
That's actually an excellent question, because I see so many people wasting so much time chasing after prospects that are never going to become customers, or if they do, they're going to be teeny tiny customers. And just like any good marketing campaign, a calling campaign starts by targeting the people that are most likely to buy whatever it is that you're selling. The answer to who should I call is not anybody. And so you want to, just like you would in any other kind of marketing campaign, be very, very highly targeted about who you're calling. For example, when I'm working with a new client, I'll ask them to describe their ideal prospect. And sometimes they'll say to me things like, well, they should be nice, or they should be easy to work with. And, you know, we all want customers or clients that are nice and easy to work with. But what you actually want to do is develop some very concrete parameters about what makes a good prospect for you. And that's about, if you're calling in business to business, that's about maybe the size of the company, either in revenue or number of employees. Maybe it's a geographic location. Certainly the title of the person that would make the decision. You know, what are the parameters of what makes a good prospect for you? If you're calling in the consumer market, where do they live? How old are they? Are they single? Are they married? All those kinds of things. And you only spend time calling prospects that match the profile of the prospects that are most likely to become your customers. There's only so many hours in the day one can spend doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, a big mistake I see, and you've probably seen it too, David, is people get information that tells them somebody really isn't likely. And they say, well, you know, maybe someday I'm going to keep them on my list. And then they keep calling them. No, you take them off your list. You don't call them anymore if they're not a good prospect. And so that's the first thing, is taking a really hard look at who are your best prospects, who are most likely to become customers.
Well, and that's a myth, isn't it? I mean, sometimes when we talk about cold calling or telephone prospecting, the picture that comes into most small business owners, executives, entrepreneurs, speakers, consultants, the picture that comes into their mind is these giant call centers with, you know, hundreds of people making thousands of phone calls, and they go, oh, well, that's not for me. They think they need to have, you know, 1,000 people on their list, and that's completely not true. I love what you said. It's about high probability prospects, and this is really high touch, low volume, intelligent prospecting. That's really what we're talking about. So if you can develop your business by talking to 4 or 5 qualified, well-qualified, hand-selected people per week, that may be all you need. And for some people, it might be 5 people per day. For some people, it might be 10 people per day, but it's not hundreds, it's not thousands, it's not these vast data banks of cold calling robots that a lot of us think, oh, well, you know, that's what cold calling is. Cold calling is, and I love what you said at the top of the call, which is all of our marketing brains immediately go out the window, and people think it's now just batch and blast, you know, shotgun time, and it's totally not. So using the telephone as an extension of your thought leadership marketing, of your intelligent prospecting, because people know, you know, if you say, well, that person that hired you, that person that gave you that 5-figure consulting gig, that, you know, $6,000-$8,000 contract, whatever it was, did you talk to them on the phone? You say, well, of course I talked to them on the phone. Did you call them? Yes, I called them. What was that first conversation like? Well, you know, and then people do this, they get lucky. They have 1 or 2 good calls, they make 1 or 2 big sales, and then they go back to the struggle because they haven't systematized and templatized it. So another thing, just another shameless plug for the Sales Winner's Handbook, is there's a system, isn't there? There's a sequence of first you do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this. One of my favorite clients, I'm going to ask you another question here in a second, but this story just popped in my head. One of my favorite clients has a dedicated salesperson. And I said, you know what? Show me your sales process. And he sent me like a one-page thing with 5 or 6 steps on it. And it wasn't a sales process. It was a cold calling process. I call. If they hang up on me, end of flow chart. If they don't hang up on me, then I ask them this, this, and this, and I try and get the next appointment. I mean, it's a straight line. You know, no marketing, no value, no finesse, no strategy, no branching logic, no multi-touch, nothing. I was like, dude, how's that working for you? He said, well, it's not working really well at all. And I said, well, no big surprise there. So So let's say we do our high probability, low volume, intelligent prospecting. Lo and behold, using the scripts in the sales winner's handbook, using the emails, the templates, all this great stuff, I get through. What do I say? And this is what kills people right at square one, that first 30 seconds. What do I say? It's like, oh, the dog caught the car. What do I say?
Exactly. And I'm going to read an email that I just got from somebody as an example, because she was struggling with exactly the same thing. She sent me an email and she said, Wendy, I was wondering if you could give me some advice on how to properly word my script. Now, let me stop here for a moment on the word script, because I know some people get a little bit flipped out about the word script. When I say script, I don't mean something you're going to read word for word no matter what the other person says. What I mean when I say script is that you are prepared, that you know how you're going to introduce yourself to get a positive reaction, and the points you want to make, and how you're going to ask for the appointment or whatever your next step is. So this caller sent me an email asking for advice on her script, and she said she starts by introducing herself. Then I say their company name helps associations with their marketing and communications to their members, including new member kits, billing systems, and direct mail. I'm calling to see if we could stop by for a quick 15-minute meeting. I always get cut off right there without having a chance to offer a time. Now, here's the problem. She's just listing all the things that they do. They do new member kits and billing systems and direct mail. So she's turning herself into a commodity. It was her company. She's just turning herself into a commodity, totally indistinguishable from any other company out there that does new member kits, billing systems, and direct mail. So what I advised her to do, she had to take a step back and look at who she was calling. She was calling associations. And I'm assuming she was talking to either the executive directors or membership directors of associations. Well, what's a problem or a challenge that executive directors or membership directors have having to do with things like new member kits, billing systems, direct mail? Probably membership growth and membership retention. So rather than getting on the phone and just listing all the things that she does, she would be better off getting that executive director or membership director on the phone and saying something like, we have a track record of helping associations grow and retain their members, because membership growth and membership retention is a challenge for a lot of associations. And so write this down. Nobody cares what you do. Write that down and underline it. Prospects care about how you can help them. So what you want to do is identify the problem or the challenge that your prospects have that you can help them with, and that's what you lead with. And actually, in the Sales Winner's Handbook, there are sample scripts. There are sample introductory scripts in a number of different industries. So you can take a look at those samples and use them as a model to create your own. And you'll see each and every one of them leads with some problem that prospects have that the caller can help.
Absolutely. Well, and let me just go through, I'm going to thumb through my copy here. And in the objections chapter, especially for folks listening in to us, you know, Wendy has specific things. See if you've ever heard this. I don't have the money. Okay, we don't have the money. Well, so what do you say to that? I'm not interested. What do you say to that? Send me information. Send me an email. What do you say to that? I have to speak with my boss. I have to speak with my partner. I got to speak with the committee. What do you say to that? I want to think about it. Oh, that just kills me. That one kills me. And you've got some fabulous things. You have a whole half page of specific things, two or three different branching things on I want to think about it. We're already working with a speaker, a consultant, a coach, whatever it is. So all of these things, how to answer pricing objections is in here. So this is a lot more than just prospecting. And Wendy, give the URL again, just so people have it, and if they need to jump off at some point, they can still get this deal until tomorrow.
Absolutely. If you didn't write it down before, grab that pen and write it down now. It's http://bit.ly/doitmarketing. bit.ly/doitmarketing.
And Wendy, what is, can you share with us, you know, again, the folks on the call, typically small business owner, speaker, coach, consultant, expert, service professional of some kind. There's a ton of scripts in the book. What's a good generic script that you can walk us through right now?
Wow, love that question. Because the answer is there's no such thing. But hello, sir or madam. It just doesn't exist. What you
hello,
say
Mr.
has
Prospect.
To be... Hello, Mr. Prospect. Have I got a deal for you? What you say has to be relevant to the person that you're saying it to. And that's why, just like any other kind of marketing campaign, it has to be targeted to a specific audience, and then the messaging has to be relevant to the audience. And if you're doing marketing campaigns, let's say you're doing an email marketing campaign to two different audiences, you can't send them the same email. You have to tweak the email so it's appropriate for each. It works exactly the same way here. And so you have to take a look at who is your audience, who are you talking to, and what's going to be relevant and compelling for that type of prospect. And when I put together the Sales Winner's Handbook, I gave examples in a lot of different industries for a lot of different types of audiences for exactly this reason. And the book is divided. The first half of it is actually about prospecting. But the second half of it, the second half that has a whole chapter on pricing objections and responses to pricing objections, the second half is about the conversation that you actually have with that prospect, the in-depth conversation, and how to have that conversation, and how to have that conversation in such a way that it works for you and you get the result that you want.
So let's talk about that, because that's also huge. And this is another thing I hear a whole lot of times. How can I convince folks to have that conversation with me without coming across as pushy or salesy or making them feel that I'm trying to, quote-unquote, sell them something?
You know, David, I am on a mission to reclaim the word sell. I looked up the word sell in the dictionary, and you know, I do a lot of workshops, and lots of times when I do a workshop, I'll go around the room and I'll ask people what the word sell means to them, and they'll say things to me like manipulative, sleazy, dishonest. But I looked up the word sell in the dictionary, and the definition of the word sell is actually to convince someone or persuade someone of the worth or the value of whatever it is you're selling. So the concept of value is actually inherent in the definition of the word sell. And nowhere in that definition did it say anything about manipulating people into buying things they didn't want and didn't need. As a business owner, as a consultant or a coach, you've got to take a step back. Ask yourself a few questions. Do you believe in the value of the services that you provide? I'm hoping everybody that's listening in says yes. Because if you're saying no, you need to find something else to do. Do you do everything in your power to help your clients or help your customers? When somebody buys something from you, do they get it? Are you committed to providing that value and taking care of your customers? And if you're answering yes to these questions, then there's nothing manipulative, sleazy, or inherently dishonest about selling. You are providing value. And I think it's time to start redefining the word sell. Hold your head up high and say with pride that you sell, because nothing happens in this world until somebody sells something. And I see so many people getting in their own way because the idea that selling is somehow a negative activity, it is not. It is an inherently positive activity.
Absolutely. Well, so much so, and Wendy, you know this because you're helping me to spread the word on the Do It Marketing book that's coming out very shortly. In that book, you may have seen, I have an entire section, not a chapter, but an entire section called the S word. The S word, like sales is a dirty word. And I love your mission is to redefine the S word, that it's actually a mutually beneficial exchange of value. And one of the key ways to make that happen is mastering the cold call and being comfortable selling not just an email, not just face-to-face, not just with a referral, selling with the phone. And I've talked to so many people that once they've mastered this, once they've gotten over the fear, the uncertainty, the doubt, the who do I call, what do I say, what do I follow up with, what do I do before, what do I do after, blah, blah, blah. Once they've mastered that, the floodgates open up and they start making two or three times the volume of sales. And again, that's not a lot. If you're selling two engagements a month, maybe now you sell four. If you're selling three speeches a month, maybe now you sell five or six. But it is significant to your cash flow and to your revenue and your financial well-being. I mean, what would it mean to most of us to have one or two extra engagements, one or two extra clients, one or two extra projects? It would be phenomenal because, again, most of the folks on the call are in a low volume, high fee business. You know, we're not selling widgets for $20. We're not selling pizzas for $8.95. We're selling hundreds or thousands of dollars type of programs, tens of thousands in some cases. So let me jump into a next hotly debated question. And this has been big for 10 years, and you've been a guru at the same question for 10 years. It's almost impossible to get through to a human being on the first call. So we're dealing with voicemail. How do we deal with voicemail? Should I even leave a message? How does all that work with the voicemail world?
Okay, that's a great question because, you know, David, if you'd asked me this question a few years ago, I would have said hang up and call somebody else. But it has just gotten harder and harder and harder to reach prospects directly. So it does make sense to use voicemail as a tool. The chances of somebody calling you back if you leave just one message, however, might it happen? Yes. But the chances of that happening are fairly minimal. We've seen, however, really positive results with clients doing voicemail campaigns. And a voicemail campaign is a series of messages that you leave over time. And if you've got that email address, you alternate the voicemail message with the email. And the messages do have to be crafted ahead of time. You cannot wing it. You craft a series of voicemail messages and a series of emails, and you send them out over time. Multiple touches significantly increase the response rate. And actually, in the Sales Winner's Handbook, there are sample campaigns, so you can see exactly how it works. You can take a look at those campaigns and use them as a model to create your own campaigns. But usually you're going to reach out to that prospect somewhere between 8 to maybe 12, 15 times, alternating voicemail and email. And when you do that, and you do it about one message a week. You don't do it all on one day, but you do it over a period of time. And we've seen a significant increase in the number of people that will return phone calls. Because if you stop and think about it, there are people that are in the market today for the type of services you're providing. And if you are leaving smart and articulate messages for them and sending them smart and articulate emails, they will call you back. There are also people, maybe they're not in the market today, but they know that something in the future, they're going to have a need of the type of service that you provide, and they will also call you back. But you do have to think it through and have a plan, and but this strategy does work very, very well.
I love that.
There's nothing better than having people call you back and say, yeah, I'm interested.
Yes, and actually I want to come back to that point in a second, but the thing I love, and again I'm just thumbing through my copy here, page 41, 42, 43, you've got 12 strategies to bypass voicemail in the first place, and then you've got this whole concept here also in Chapter 4 about a voicemail sequence. And I love the, I'm just going to read the pull quote here on page 46. You mentioned part of this already. Generic scripts do not work. The more specific that you are about your credentials, history, and outcomes for your customers, the more success you will have. And then this whole concept of, you know, what do I send in an email? Like email marketing, what do I send in an email? Well, we don't send single emails. We have email campaigns. And the brilliance here in your approach is we don't shoot out a single voicemail. We have voicemail sequences. I mean, that in and of itself, if people were to hang up the phone now, which I hope they don't do because they'll miss out on some great stuff we have coming up. But if they hang up right now, they go, oh, voicemail sequences, that's a great idea. That's going to increase my success. Yes, it will. So just go do that. And forget about the other 53 strategies that Wendy has for you, because that alone is going to start to increase your results. Now, what you say, how you say it, how you script it, what you know, how you frame it out, you know, you're on your own. Good luck, unless you choose to invest in this, which is, you know, I recommend, because clearly I did it myself. But the voicemail sequence is brilliant because it's not a single email. It's not a single voicemail. It's not a single message. I mean, you have to think in terms of campaigns, and campaigns in social media are proven to work. Campaigns in email are proven to work. Campaigns in direct mail with things like sales letters and postcards are proven to work. A one-off, a one-shot kind of shooting from the hip in any medium is never going to generate results. Same with the phone and same with your voicemail. So I love that. Now, let's say I've wised up. I'm starting to do this. I might not be great at it yet. No one's calling me back. No one is calling me back. I got crickets. Why doesn't anyone ever call me back?
You have to remember that the people that you are calling, first of all, they are busy. Every single one of them, when you call them, they are doing something else. And so that's why, as we were just talking about, this campaign is so important. And the last piece of the voicemail campaign, generally, let's say you're going to do a five-call campaign and you're going to alternate it with emails, so you're reaching out to a prospect 10 times. The very last message, I call it the move-on message. And the move-on message essentially, it goes like this. I've tried to reach you, David. I've tried to reach you a number of times to discuss fill in the blank with whatever it is you want to talk about. I haven't heard back from you. I know you're busy. So I'm assuming this isn't a good time for us to have this conversation. I don't want to make a pest of myself, so I won't be calling you again. And you name a time frame. It could be 3 months. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. If you've been meaning to get back to me, I'd welcome the opportunity to discuss fill in the blank. This is actually the most returned message, because what happens is you've left, if you've done your messaging well, and you've left some compelling messages, and you've sent some compelling emails, and the prospect has not responded, you then tell them you're not going to call them back. What most people do is they keep calling for a certain period of time, and then they just stop. Your busy prospect, who might actually be interested, thinks you're going to keep calling, because that's what most people do. You might be on their list, but you're down at the bottom, because they figure you're going to call them. The reason this strategy works is you then tell them, well, hey, I don't want to make a pest of myself, so I won't be calling you for a while. You then jump to the top of the list. And that is actually the most returned message. You have to have very compelling messaging first, but then when you leave that move on message, that's when you're going to get the most of the return phone calls. And if you do not get a return phone call, but you still think that's a possible lead for you, a viable lead, you recycle it. You don't throw it out. You bump it ahead 3 months or 6 months or a year, and you try them again. And over time, people hearing your messages, they will start to respond to you more and more and more. And that's what we've seen really consistently with our clients. And I have people that have purchased the Sales Winners Handbook that they send me emails, they call me up, and tell me they've looked at the campaigns that are in the book, they've created their own campaigns, and people are calling them back, and they're getting business.
Well, and it's just, so let me just kind of put the cards on the table here. This is a no-brainer purchase for people. It's $47. It is 100% guaranteed. If you don't like it, it doesn't work for you, you're not seeing the value in here, Wendy has 100% money back guarantee. It's $47. Don't be a goofball. Do not be a goofball. Just buy the program. It's going to hugely skyrocket your success, not just on the phone, but prospecting in general. All the things we talked about, email, all the things we talked about, voicemail, some of the things you can do online, some of the things you can do offline. You know, it's so funny. It's almost like, well, it's $47. How good could it be? It's too, you know, people are expecting, oh, well, if it was really good, it would be like $500. I'll tell you what, you'll make the $500 in the first week. So spend the $47 today, get the free shipping, don't be a goofball, do what I did, get into your credit card and fork it over, because it's crazy how good this is. And I don't say that about a lot of products. I mean, I'm not a rabid, crazy pitch fest kind of guy. Wendy knows this because I sent her the receipt from 2010 that I bought this, and I was a fan long, long before we got on the phone and decided to do this program together. So let's talk about the psychology, because I always teach my clients, whether it's marketing or selling or anything, it really is mindset before skill set. And people have such a screwed up mindset around some of these issues. What are we afraid of? Why are so many entrepreneurs and small business folks uncomfortable with cold calling?
That is such a great question. And, you know, David, so much of the conversation about cold calling is emotional. People talk about how they hate the telephone. They hate cold calling. Everybody hates cold calling. Everybody hates to be cold called. It's very, very emotional. And then on the other side of it, you have these cold calling cowboys, you know, people that love cold calling and are kind of, they're cold calling cowboys, you know. But this, you don't have to love this. It's not, the opposite of hating to cold call is not actually loving to cold call. The opposite is getting to neutral. Write that down, everybody. You want to be neutral, because neutral is a place that you can function. If you think that nobody wants to talk to you, people are going to scream at you, people are going to hang up on you, that's a very difficult place to be. What if you believed instead that you were calling prospects that, because you've done your homework, you had a pretty good idea that they had a challenge that you could help them with. And that when you called these people, they were really pleased that you had called because they did indeed need some help and you were going to be able to help them. Well, what if that's what you believed? And how would it change the way you feel about it? And so what I always recommend to all of my clients is that, and this will not happen overnight, you want to make a shift in how you think about this, because it's not about loving it or hating it. It's simply about being able to execute on a telephone marketing strategy and having the skills, having the messaging. That's why I wrote the Sales Winner's Handbook, because the words matter. So
I love what you said about just that soundbite there about telephone marketing strategy. I mean, so take the S word off the table right away, right? So it's not sales. It's a telephone marketing strategy, which I love because that's a whole different ballgame. You know, people are comfortable with an email marketing strategy or a social media marketing strategy or an article marketing strategy. This is a telephone marketing strategy. I love that. That's a hugely valuable reframe, in my opinion.
Yeah, people, it goes back to what I said early on in this call, that for whatever reason, when it comes to prospecting on the telephone, everything that we know about marketing and process goes out the window. Is it call anybody, say anything, cross your fingers, make a bunch of dials. And just like any other kind of marketing campaign that you're going to do, it needs to be thought through, it needs to be targeted, the messaging has to be right, there's a level of skill. It's not brain surgery, but there is a level of skill. And when you put those things together, it works, just like any other kind of marketing campaign. It works.
Absolutely. And I also love what you said about getting to neutral. You know, if you ask someone, well, how do you feel about article marketing? People are not going to say, oh, I hate it. I'm afraid of it. I love it. It's like, no, it works. I use it. It works. I do article marketing. How do you feel about email marketing? Oh, you know, I like email. It's good. Oh, I love my email marketing. But, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm afraid of email marketing. I'm so afraid. People will unsubscribe from my emails. I say, no, it's neutral. It works. I do it when I do it. I do it when it serves the business. They should have the same feeling, and I'm talking to myself here, of course. They should have the same feeling about the phone. So each time I say to myself, and I'm doing a little self-coaching here, each time I say to myself, oh, man, I'm a guy who hates the phone, that's actually not serving me, is it?
No.
So I need to get to neutral. Our folks need to get to neutral. The phone is a tool.
Yeah.
There you go. So any other strategies about overcoming that fear or reluctance to make the cold calls? Or did we kind of nail that down?
Well, we certainly nailed it down. The last thing I'd leave our listeners with is, you know, there's the facts, and then there's the stories you tell yourself about the facts. The facts are you need to talk to some people on the telephone. You're going to dial the phone. You're either going to reach the person or not. When you reach the prospect, you're going to say something, they're going to say something. That's pretty much it. Those are the facts. The stories are, I'm bothering them, I'm interrupting them, they're going to hang up on me, they're going to yell at me, they're not interested, they have a vendor, on and on and on. And it is possible to tell yourself a different story. You know, when I started doing this work, I actually used to be a ballet dancer. I was not supposed to be the queen of cold calling. I was supposed to be a ballerina. And I needed a day job. And I got a job with a telemarketing company that did appointment setting. And it turned out I was really good at it. Early on, they started giving me all the really hard calls, the presidents, the CEOs, people that wouldn't take cold calls. I would get these people on the phone and get them to set up meetings with the clients. And I realized something years later when I started doing training. What I realized was I was a dancer, so I considered myself to be an artist. And in my world, artists were important. Business people were not important. So I figured that all of these presidents and CEOs, who are mostly men, who are a whole lot older than I was, who made a whole lot more money than I did because I was a 20-something starving artist living in New York City, I figured they'd love to talk to me because I was an artist. Never occurred to me that they wouldn't want to talk to me.
That is fantastic.
And it was only years later that I kind of put it together that the way I was thinking about it is what enabled me to be as successful as I was so early on. I just
so
assumed
really
I'd say, hey, when do you
want
to meet with the client? I'd open up the calendar. Yeah. And did my belief that artists were so important and business people were not, I mean, did that have anything to do with reality? No. It just happened to be what I believed.
So you were the visiting celebrity to these fairly unimportant CEOs, presidents, vice presidents, etc. You were the glamour rock star in their world that would brighten their day by calling.
That's exactly what I thought.
That's fantastic. Well, that just puts a total ribbon around the concept of mindset before skill set. So yes, you have to have that mindset, and then the beauty is the skill set can be learned. The skill set, obviously a large part of the skill set we talked about on the call today, the details, the scripts, the templates, the tools are going to be in the Sales Winner's Handbook. Let me give the URL one more time, then I've got a closing question. And then I want to also tell people how to sort of stay connected to you, whether they invest in the Sales Winner's Handbook or not. So the URL to invest in this and get all the free goodies and the free shipping and all the other good stuff, the 100% guarantee, http://bit.ly, otherwise known as bit.ly, but it's spelled bit.ly/doitmarketing. So Wendy, what are five top things that you want to plant in our listeners' minds to help them be more successful?
Okay, so here we go. Write this down, everybody. Number one, make phone calls. And number two is make a lot of phone calls. Number three, and write this down and underline it. You have something of value to offer. That's how you have to think about this. And number four, how you think about this and how you feel about this is actually totally under your control. It does not have to be painful. And number five, this is just a phone call. Nobody's going to die. You know, if you reach someone who says no to you, nobody is going to die. You are not going to destroy your life or your family, lose your home, nothing bad is going to happen. It's just a phone call.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Now tell people some other ways besides going to bit.ly/doitmarketing that they can invest in the product, obviously. How else can they stay connected to you? What other resources are in the empire and available through you?
Okay. Well, I do have an ebook. It's a free ebook. It's called The Cold Calling Survival Guide, and the subtitle is Start Setting Appointments in the Next 24 Hours. And you can get that at coldcalling911.com. So it's coldcalling911.com is the cold calling survival guide. And I also have a free report on my website, which is queenofcoldcalling.com. And that report is called Getting in the Door, How to Write an Effective Cold Calling Script. So those are two free resources for you. One is at queenofcoldcalling.com. And the other one is at coldcalling911.com.
Awesome. Well, Wendy Weiss, the queen of cold calling, I think everyone listening in now knows exactly why you're called the queen of cold calling. thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your wisdom and these fabulous tips and pointers about mastering the cold call once and for all. One last time, just to encourage you to please do as I did and grab your copy of the Sales Winner's Handbook. It's http://bit.ly/doitmarketing. You will thank me for this recommendation. You will thank Wendy for her wisdom and her insights, and you will thank your spouse, significant other, dog, and accountant for the additional money that you will bring in using these strategies. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Wendy Weiss, thank you once again, my friend, and have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone, and thank you so much, David.